Live and local. Mornings with Todd Sargent. For our sponsor, Harvey Norman Computers, Rutherford and Bennetts Green.
And when it comes to technology, the world of the internet, the World Wide Web has brought some amazing, amazing things to our lives. With the good comes the bad. There's a new scam around at the moment. Keep your eyes open on your email regarding PayPal. But we hear about the bad things that happen with technology, but some of the amazing things that I would imagine so many people never, ever would have thought possible spring up day for day. And it's a topic that not a lot of us feel comfortable talking about, but end of life. And it's wonderful to have Jeanette Lacey, end of life care nurse practitioner at the John Hunter Hospital. We're talking about technology, and the John has secured funding to give dying patients the chance to say goodbye, far away family and friends who can't manage to get to the John. Jeanette, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Todd.
It's our pleasure. Look, this is amazing, and I'm kind of blown away that it hasn't been thought about earlier, but this must bring some kind of relief to people because it is a big country, it's a big state, and the tyranny of distance well and truly does come into play in these matters, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, you know, we whenever the death happens of a loved one or the dying process of a loved one, we're never ready for it, we're never expecting it, and it always comes to a shock, you know, for family and friends. And so, we may not always be able to get where we need to be at the right time. And so using our technology that we have throughout Hunter New England Health, called telehealth, we're able to video conference families who may not even just be in the state or the other side of the country, but across the world, try to video conference people into the bedside to be with their relative, to be with their family, and to try to support them at the end of life.
Jeanette, do you think people feel a certain amount of guilt if they can't be at a loved one's bedside? And let's take, for example, things happen very, very quickly. I suppose if there's a long illness, there's potentially a little bit of expectation. But if someone gets injured and people are out of the country or across the other side of the country, do you find people just have this big sense of guilt for not being able to be there?
Oh, look, I think that you may refer to it as guilt, but people try, genuinely do try, and sometimes there just isn't time. And I think when you say, you know, there's a long illness and an expectation, it doesn't particularly matter how long an illness is. When it comes to the crunch, no one's ready for this.
No one's
really prepared for death and dying, and it comes as a big shock. So, you know, if you're someone who's been, say, let's just imagine, you know, you're someone who's been saving for the last 10 years for the European trip of a lifetime, and you find yourself landing, you know, in, I don't know, somewhere in Europe, and suddenly you get a phone call saying that your mum's just taken ill or your dad's just taken ill, and you've just travelled 24 hours and it's going to take you another 24 hours to get home. You know, these things can be sudden, they can be unexpected, and life goes on for people. And if people are overseas or if people are in other parts of the country and someone suddenly becomes very sick and dies, it's very difficult to be there. So we just want to try to be able to bring people into the room and try to allow them that opportunity to say goodbye and to talk about things that have been important to them and enable them to have those conversations.
You've secured $10,000 in the grand scheme of things when it comes to medical research and hospitals. It's not a whole lot of money, but it's a whole lot of money if you don't have it, isn't it?
That's right. And that money is going to go towards buying hardware, ensuring that we have the speakers and webcams that we need to be able to allow this to happen within our hospital. And it's also to ensure that the staff in the hospital are aware that we can do this. We're already, since the grant was announced, we're already using it for other patients in the hospital who may be here for longer-term treatment in the hospital, and they might have family who are in other parts of the country. And this just enables them to have some contact once or twice a week where they can see each other. And you know, the visual cues that we take from each other are very important. So using that video conferencing becomes a really special part of how we can improve the patient experience for people who are sick.
I would imagine it would be a win-win situation as well, being able to see the face of someone you may not have seen for a long period of time.
Yeah,
I'm also wondering, Jeanette, when it comes to this kind of thing, often children don't feel comfortable visiting a relative or a loved one who are at that stage in life. Do you think there is the opportunity where it gives the patient the opportunity to see a youngster who may just not feel comfortable coming into the hospital environment?
Yes, absolutely. But also not just children. There's lots of adults who don't feel happy coming into hospital environments for whatever reason. It might be that they've had a bad experience. It might be that they've seen a relative die there. It might just be that they have a fear of needles, you know, and they don't want to go into those sorts of places. And so it does allow us to be able to bring the person who can't necessarily be here in person for whatever reason. So we can bring them into the room.
Is it up and running now, or when will it be up and running? And
It is up and running. We have the technology, but the grant was only just announced about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. So we're just trying to improve that, start rolling out that education, start rolling out that information, and ensuring that we have all the hardware available for our patients to be able to access here in the hospital.
Jeanette, it's one of those parts of all our lives that we often don't want to talk about or don't want to acknowledge, but it is something that's going to happen. And I suppose if it can give the family and, more importantly, the patient, some love, some joy at that, very pivotal part of their life, then it's got to be a good thing. Job well done.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time, Jeanette Lacey, end-of-life care nurse practitioner at the John Hunter Hospital.
2NURFM 103.7.